Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Welcome back to the second part of this incredible episode of Queer I Am, the podcast, live and unscripted. The conversation continues and we also have an audience Q&A. I hope you enjoy. So whatever you're up to, this is your time to settle down, relax and enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Queer I Am. So this now is the final part of the show and it's an audience Q&A. So it's an opportunity for anyone to get involved, ask questions about allyship and community. And you didn't like that.
We live for Tawaka here.
It's what we're going to get Daniel.
It's the real Brighton experience. You're like, oh, that's awful and my throat's sore. But it was
Daniel's
good.
Train goes at 10:30, but we're trying to convince them to stay with Schultz. So if anyone has a spare room. So, audience Q&A, we want to talk about... Sorry? Yes, we can use that one. Thank you. So this has gone to shit, hasn't it? Show 8 is just like... let's just finish it.
Wait, hello.
What rule book?
Yeah. Does anyone have any questions about allyship and community for our fabulous panel? Harry, you do. Beautiful.
Of course Mario Kart has a fucking
thank
question.
Thank you. 1, 2. Oh, that's quite loud. What's your question, Harry?
Hello. Mine is for Cherry. Hi, darling.
Hi, Gore.
This is sister to sister. Obviously, you're joined by three drag queens in the room, me, Shallow, and Alex.
I've never heard of you.
Obviously, Shallow's been doing drag for like 73 years, I'm pretty sure. But for somebody, you've been doing it for what, two and a half? Similar time to me. What's been your experience of the drag queen community? And if you could improve it, how would you do so?
That's a fabulous question. I love that. Thank you, Harry.
That is a gorgeous question. Thank you, Mario Kart. How would I improve it? Well, I already am by being in it.
that's tea.
So, no. What is my experience? Do you know what? Honestly, I think it's a weird one. You'll probably get this. I don't know. Mine was a pretty odd entry into the drag scene. I don't think that there's a right entry or wrong entry, but for me... except in group activities. But we were talking about this during the break, actually, that I kind of... It was a bit of a baptism of fire. Like, during lockdown... we started doing online shows and it became like a Saturday Night Live thing. It was a bit of a take on what Lily Savage used to do, like the catchphrase, blankety blank. She didn't do catchphrase, but we did. That kind of game show. And it was about mainly boredom, but also a lot of my friends at the time, we realized were just out of work because they were drag queens or cabaret, like we're friends with, you know, Billy Gold, Caravan Park, those kind of people, Snow White, Trash and Ruffles. Like we decided to put on a show where we platform them and we were like, wouldn't it be great to have something where it's a bit of camp fun, everyone's doing quizzes with their families and stuff and we can do this on Saturday night. So it started with that. So for me, that was a bit of an entry, and then I got booked for a pub, and my friend who runs the Bedford Tavern gave me a gig, and it was like, there you go, you got time, do what you want. And I went, no, what do I do? And that was the first time I sang, the first time I did. So for me, it wasn't really ever from a desire to really want to do it. But since I've been doing it, I've realized how much it's saved me and how much it's opened. It definitely did save me over lockdown. Like, it properly, like, we're talking about it being a distraction. Like, it was a creative outlet during a time that was just fucked up, like a bizarre time. And now it's become something that I love. I feel that I'm good at. I feel like I've found myself a little bit in it. So my advice would be to just find yourself in it. Don't treat it as a... I think there's a lot of competition. Like, there's a lot of feeling of competition. And I think whenever you start anything new, any career, anything that is, you know, obviously we do it for money. We don't do it for free, usually. But we do it. You do it, and I mean, a lot of times, unless you're really lucky and you can be artistic about it, you can. And there's some gigs you do have that freedom. Your job is to sell drinks. Your job is to keep people entertained. It's nothing serious. It's about, at its core, it is quite serious because it's about subverting gender and questioning gender norms and those kind of things. That's the part I love about it. But it's also just about freeing up those conversations. So my advice would be, if you want to do it with that in mind and have fun with it. And I'd say there's maybe some people who take it very seriously in terms of wanting to do something. And it's like, well, if I don't do this, I won't have had success. And it's like, well, success is people leaving more open-minded, happy, free, able to speak more and have conversations at home, able to have... I always say, I'm always an advocate for mental health because I struggled so much with it, that I say, if you want to come and talk to me, come and talk to me. And things like this, even about opening up dialogue, like, speak more, be more honest, be more open, be more caring, be more loving. And yeah, I'd say for the drag community, it's no different. I think we should all think kindness first. I think there's some people who don't do that, whether it's from a place of insecurity or a place of kind of, because it's tough when you're put in a ring with people who you didn't know you were competing against or you aren't competing against. It's tough because your natural reaction sometimes, because of our trauma or because of our upbringing or because of our bullied kind of experiences, means that you repeat that. And for me, I've gone the other way. I've gone away from that. I've kind of actively reject that. So I think it's been beautiful, and I've been able to do it with my husband, which is really lovely. Like, he's been with me every step of it, so it's actually been quite a bonding experience for us as well, which is really nice.
And you're amazing, and you and beautiful. And I have to say, I had a guest on the first show who is a lesbian and is completely like, she fancies the pants off you as Cherry Bomb.
I'm pansexual, Bim. I'm here to rock her world.
She's like, Cherry Bomb, oh my God. Like, so, but I think, do you know what? It's that whole thing around comparison is the, what's the saying? It's like the crush of joy, isn't it? It's like, if you always comparing yourself and you're always kind of worrying about what other people are doing, you forget to enjoy your own craft.
Absolutely.
And if you leave something and you feel good, it doesn't matter about everyone else. If you know you've done a good show, you've been there for the people, you've done what you can, that's a great thing to
do. Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for what you start out as. I mean, I started out with certain inspirations in mind and certain notions of drag, but it changes as you perform because it's your audience that changes you, and you learn from them as much as they from you. So for me, it's not being precious about... There's certain things you have to be protective of, and there's certain things you have to be precious about, and there's certain things I've definitely had to make the call on, certain things that people have advised me otherwise on. And I think you just have to take advice with a pinch of salt, because at the end of the day, you're creating something new. We're always creating. Like, Cherry Bomb didn't exist three years ago. So it's kind of, to me, it blows my mind. Like, the thought that it's just something new. Like, if you put your mind to something and you do it. And for me, it is. I mean, she's come a long way since that first Facebook Live. From that YouTube video on makeup. How do I do makeup? But you do. And it's testament to that thing. There's that scientists who spoke about the fact that if you spend 20 minutes on something, once a day, every day, you'll be an expert in it by, I don't know how long it is, look it up. But by a year anyway, if not before. But it is, it's about repetition, commitment, passion, like just keep into those things and you'll do what you need to do. You'll get better at it, you know?
Amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you, Harry, for that question. That was lovely.
Thanks, baby.
Any more questions? Shallow. Right, let me come over.
It's all coming from the Queens.
Oh, the performers want to have attention on them. Shocking.
Oh, isn't that mad? Before I ask the question first, you just so nice to hear you, and I've chatted to you about this before, about hearing... about in terms of ways like mental health issues can affect you and how you've dealt with them through drag. First and foremost, just want to applaud you on that massively. Like, I'm so, so fond of you, and you know this, and just want to say thank you for doing that on that platform and in that place. And
you still make me cry.
I know, we've done that before. We're not going to do that again.
You saw me cry before in the makeup room. Don't do it.
Honestly, no, you were so ugly. We're not going to do that. But also, I think it was actually going back to the celebrity allyship question, and it was a weird one.
Don't talk about Mel C. We've already slammed her.
So, what, is she slamming now? Oh, God bless. it was more, and I want to know your views and feelings on, and specifically because I had a very, very pigeonholed view in terms of when Beyonce performed in Arab Emirates, and I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this. But then, me, I bought a ticket and went to watch the show. And it was the most queer-liberating experience of my life. So how do you feel in terms of... because I didn't agree with that action personally in doing that. But then to see something where someone is actually fully celebrating that... in that sort of... on that level. How do you feel personally about what you've seen so far in terms of Beyonce, who is one of the biggest queer icons of our lifetime and will be, and always most likely will be, until she passes the torch to her daughter, Jay-Z. And but what do you feel in terms of that specific scenario and your thoughts on it?
Well, my first thought, Shallow, when you said that is... so you had this queer liberating show in London, but she's performed in the Emirates. How queer was that? And this is... yes, I know she's done a lot, and the whole album is about queerness. I know Qatar is bad, but I don't know how queer that show would have been. And I know they're doing it for money, but that's what upsets me. But then I also, you know what? I wasn't in that audience, so I couldn't possibly comment. But on the subject of allyship, if you're going to be an ally, be an ally. Don't give me a half story. I know these people are driven for money, and they're gonna be there.
But she doesn't need the money.
Well, there is that. Give me some. I just find it frustrating. And when I see an ally, I think of the real people that affect me and the ones that I see. And I try not to idolize people too much because I have done. I have idolized these people that I think are amazing and they are going to speak to me and all the rest of it. But actually, on the flip side, they really don't. No. And I'm sorry, I like Beyonce's music. Much of an ally that I personally, and people might disagree, but I just won't idolize false idols.
I'm completely in agreement with that because for me, to the point where even there's that whole thing of like starstruck of people getting star, and I think there are certain people. Obviously, I'd be like, oh my god, that's them. But I forget who I've got some great stories of people I've met, but I don't remember them. And that's either because I'm getting senile in my old age. But I think it's because there is that thing of idolatry, like idolizing people where I like the music too, but I do find it a bit odd that people are obsessed. And there are things I get obsessed with, but usually it's like toaster waffles or like a different type of
roasting,
you know? Yeah. I get obsessed with, I've also got OCD, so I do know. I get obsessed with things. I definitely get obsessed with things, but not people. And for me, the weird thing is, like you say, she doesn't need the money. She did not need the money. So therefore, why do you do it? But then I'm thinking, as a queen, would I take that gig? Abso-fucking-lutely, I'd take that gig. But you get things where you're offered things, and if they compromise your position to a certain point, I guess you wouldn't. And I I think in that case, it was maybe misjudgment in terms of how bad the reaction was to it. Mm. And when the reaction was had, I think, had they known it was going to be that bad, the management would have made a different call, I would say. But it happened, and it wasn't Renaissance. It was a different show, and it was something that wasn't queer liberating. And there are some people who go to these places and wear something with a rainbow on it and call it allyship, which it's not. But then, yes, she has then done these things where it is like very liberating, like you said, experiencing that, where it's a really high profile person putting on a queer performance. Would I love that person to be queer who's doing that? Yes, probably more so than a straight woman who's happily married with children and comes out every so often to release an album and get money. But I don't think having a gay uncle who made you a spandex dress when you were young like really qualifies
you. She looks a mess.
No, she did look fabulous, and we, as queer people, generally do love shiny things. So I think that there is that celebrity love of those sparkly, shiny things. I will say, I went to Harry Styles. I talked about queer baiting earlier, and I don't want to get into that because people have their views on it, whatever way he is or he isn't, and actually it's his personal life. Who cares? None of us are shagging him, sadly. And I think we're all a bit bitter. But he, on his show, during his performance, he was the most charismatic, beautiful, amazing thing. And I've had my moments of thinking that maybe he was showboating, being a bit Mick Jagger about it all, being a bit like, you know, it's all been done, it's tropes, it's whatever. But honestly, watching that and seeing the female drummer, the female bassist, him on stage wearing like hearts on his fucking lovely, sparkly, gorgeous body. What was I talking about? like seeing that though, and seeing him, and genuinely, it might seem like a bit of a token thing, but he does help people who say they're coming out. He brings the flag up, he makes a joke out of it, he goes, whoa. Like, it is a bit, it's a thing. It's not, to me, it didn't feel token. It felt like an integral part of his show.
Natural.
And it felt natural, and he felt genuine, he felt. He honestly looked like someone, I've seen videos of him as well, where he's genuinely so excited and proud to be where he is and to have got to where he is. And for me, that's what it's about. It's about being genuine and authentic. And these shows that Beyoncé's putting on, she said before she wants to be an icon. She wants to be remembered like Prince was. She wants to be remembered. So that's her goal. Like, live that, do that. But for me, the people who are out there being authentic and being like really connecting and doing things that are supportive of the community, that's what it's about.
I think it goes back to also just continuing. I think Beyoncé made a mistake and then she comes back and she pours more into it. And I think that they must have had a discussion, and I think that I agree. I think it's a very queer show. So I think, yeah. And I think that that was a purpose.
It's intentional.
Yeah, I do. I really do. Because I think that they heard the backlash. There was a lot of queer press that actually still reported on the performance out there as well. And I just think that I think she took it on board, realized her mistake, and hopefully continues. But I think it comes back to, like Harry Styles, to just be consistent, to just keep on supporting, keep on being there, raise the flag, be aware.
Because he, do you know what? He could have also, like, because he's had a lot of backlash.
Yeah.
His team could have equally said, stop on the whole queer thing, stop, pull it back, and whatever. And he could have.
Oh, he could have
hasn't.
Back.
He hasn't because. Asda Price. He hasn't. And that's true. And what you said, like, I think they definitely have made it more queer forward, the Beyoncé show and things like that. But it is about that kind of thing. You make it, regardless of what we all think, she hired queer people. She had people on her album. She had queer artists. She did. The intention was very much, whether it came from a genuine, authentic place or whether it came from the zeitgeist of the fact that she had to make a queer album, like, regardless, she has employed queer people. She has had queer people there. She's doing a lot for the image of black people within modern culture. Like, she's doing amazing things, which is why I think we have to be careful about that thing where we villainize people for one decision or one thing that they do. Like,
absolutely.
It's about, if there is inclusivity there, like, discuss it, but appreciate it.
I think it goes back to make a mistake, show up for that mistake. Yes. And I think that's what she's done.
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, it's that whole cancel culture. Like, someone makes a mistake and we're so quick to pull them down. But actually, if someone says, do you know what? I didn't do okay and I'll learn. That's a great thing, definitely.
I think with the Harry Styles thing as well, like, I quite like the fact that he's flirting with the binary. Mm-hmm. And actually, he's quite self-aware of what he's doing. every interview that I've seen of him, every show, every little bit of media that I see, he's always just like, you know what? I'm just going to fuck around with it. I quite like that. I'm into it because it gets people talking. It gets people talking about, oh, is he, isn't he? Who cares? But I feel like he might be an ally towards us because he's very self-aware of what he's doing. If I went to him and I spoke to him about a drag queen, I feel like Harry would know. And I identify with that quite well. And being able to flirt with it a little bit and be that self-aware person. And I think that if we're going to talk about ally and communitarship, that's where it comes from.
But also having, I mean, what he's doing as his brand is very gender non-conforming.
Yes.
Everything he's doing, and whether you want to speak to him about him as a person or a brand, we don't know him as a person. No one does. Wish I did. But thinking about him as a brand... other companies will not engage with him in a way that is non-inclusive because they know that they can't. Yeah. And having worked in the fashion industry for years, I know that if he's going with a brief that he wants people, he's worked with Gucci a lot, I know that they have famously not conformed to male, female, masculine, the women's shows, the men's shows, but they know, and every brand that works with him knows that he will not tolerate non-inclusivity in terms of like gender conforming and what he does and what he doesn't do. So whether people say he's dressing up and wearing pearls for show, I don't fucking care. No. Because it means that little kid growing up, me in Northern Ireland, yeah, 35 years ago, like, see how I just reduced my age? I should have said 25, shouldn't I? Seeing someone like that who is respected, who's revered, wearing pearls, painting his nails, wearing sequins, wearing shiny things, wearing nice things that we all love, yeah, not all of us, but some of us, it's fucking beautiful. And it
would have been amazing to see.
It means that parents are able to now give their children more choices. And, yeah, and that's what it comes down to for me.
And we get to look up to it rather than it the bury the dead trope that I was talking about earlier. It's not just that, actually. It can be something exciting, something shiny. It doesn't always have to be, you're going to die.
Yeah.
I meant to talk about that earlier, the joy side of it, because we hear a lot about, it happens and it's almost like repeating history now. And I think that's what we need to be really careful of, repeating history with our trans siblings and the trans community, because we went through, the ones who are old enough, went through the tombstone era of AIDS, HIV, of it being a death sentence, which the ergo made you feel like being gay was a death sentence. Mm-hmm. And you grew up with that shame and that fear, and we need to be really careful about uplifting trans joy, because for me, a lot of the stuff that you hear and a lot of the stories that you see are all about trauma. They're all about, and trauma is a really personal thing, and we need to be really careful about how it becomes mainstream, how we see trans people.
Absolutely.
And that's what I was talking about, victimship before. We're not victims. Some of us are victims and we'll fucking fight for them, but we're not victims. Mm-hmm. We're strong. And I think trans joy and queer joy needs to be celebrated a lot more than it is.
Absolutely.
Right now.
Incredible. Thank you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince.
Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
We have like 1 minute left. So does anyone else have a quick question they'd like to ask the amazing panel? Michael, a run over.
I was going to ask a deep question, but we don't have
time. I like it deep, don't worry.
Me too. If you could go back in time and tell your child self what is the biggest joy about the community or the thing you love most about the community, what would you tell that child?
That's an amazing question. I love that.
I need to prepare myself.
I'd probably... I felt very much like I wanted to stay in the closet when I was younger. And I didn't actually ever come out and think, oh, shit, I'm going to feel this acceptance and stuff. And I wish I'd known what I do now, and to know that there are people, you will find your people. It doesn't matter if you're too camp or if you're not the stereotype gay guy, or your walk is a little bit different, or you are limp-wristed. I would probably say just be you and stop apologising. Because I apologise too much, and I'm not really sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yay. Love that. I love that. Cherry?
when you first asked that, I got a bit emotional, because for me, there's a lot about... I think a lot of us have shame and have kind of things from our past that we would have done differently. And I don't think I've had a particularly traumatic or difficult life by any stretch of the imagination. But I think whenever you start to dig into your own struggles, I guess, you unwrap a lot from before, like kind of hidden trauma, maybe. And we fuck ourselves up, really. Well, our parents fuck us up, but everyone else does, but we do. And once you start digging into that, you see more. And I think... for me, that opened up a lot about, like you said, I didn't want to come out. I didn't want to be different from my brothers. I think for me, I didn't want to prove people right. I think that's a thing that a lot of queer people have. We don't want to prove people right because they're absolute cunts and they're wrong. But whenever they have an opinion about you and your sexuality or your gender or what you're doing or whether it's right or wrong, I think we have to understand as adults and look back and think, that was wrong. Having that view of children and having a stereotype or having a norm that you project onto children and how they should behave is wrong. And I think we're getting better at not enforcing those things. But I would definitely say, do you, and don't necessarily give a fuck about what other people say is right or wrong in terms of how you present yourself, because as much as that trauma has formed who I am now, I think that seeing parents now parent children in a compassionate and loving way is beautiful. And I'm not saying my parents didn't, it is what it was. I think there's going to be a generation of people who don't have that kind of self-stigma and that trauma to deal with and unpack. I'd say be yourself and be easier on yourself and trust your gut.
Absolutely. Anything to add, Paul?
So I was just thinking about like sort of my experiences growing up. I was from a very heteronormative, thrown into a very sort of straight heteronormative society. And I've played sport all of my life, and that has its challenges as a gay man. And if I was going to give myself some advice when I was younger and about the joys that it could be, I don't know if anyone's ever experienced this, but if you ever get like a pit in your stomach and you're faced with a situation and you're like, oh, I need to answer it this way or I need to do that way, answer it the queer way, because it's always better for you in the long term. Because so many scenarios, and still to this day, I have a very corporate job. I still, even in the rugby world, if I'm out with my dad is the most accepting man on the planet and I love him to pieces, I still have to edit myself. But actually, don't just be yourself, because it's better for in here long term. And that's what I would tell myself.
Absolutely. Amazing. I mean,
that's
thank
good
you.
Advice for me now. Like, that's amazing advice.
Accept the pit in your stomach. Now.
Well, I think that's the perfect way to end the podcast episode and the season. So thank you all so, so much. And thank you for all the support and for coming along and listening to these incredible conversations. Big thank you once again to Arco Baleno, to Nick, to Luciana, to Tom, to everyone here, and to my incredible guests, Daniel Harding, Cherry Bomb, and Paul Tindall.
And thank you to Andrew for pulling us all together.
Thank you so much.
It's been an absolute pleasure. So thank you all so much.
I really hope you enjoyed the show. A big thank you once again to all my guests. Please share the podcast, give it a 5-star review if you'd like, and leave any comments you may have. You can also follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok for all the latest updates on Queer I Am, the podcast. Also, check out my website, www.fluiactually.com. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.